How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago, and as always, we're brought to you by the Glenview Park Golf Club. It is Ryder Cup Saturday, and we were just talking a little bit, Mike, about that Scottie Scheffler, Russell Henley versus Robert McIntyre, Victor Hovland match in the alternate shot. Well, the hopes just got a little a bit more daunting for Scottie Scheffler and company as they have dropped to down one after being all square. And that is probably going to be the most pivotal match of the morning session right now, because if the Americans can come away with this thing 2-2 or even 2.5, 1.5, you open the door a little bit into the afternoon. You let yourself dream a little bit. But if this thing gets to 8.5, 3.5 when things are all said and done in the morning, boy, you can wrap this thing up, because you've got your best player, the best player in the world, and he's having the same struggles that we saw Tiger Woods have in the Ryder Cup historically. I don't know what it is about, whether it's the format, whether it's the team play aspect of it, but to see guys like Scottie Scheffler and Tiger Woods struggle in this event, it makes no sense to me. I can't fathom it. I don't know what you make of it, but the way that they have both struggled in this event, it kind of boggles my mind.
It boggles everybody's mind right now. We expected Scottie to be, you know, Superman, and obviously he has to play with a partner, which he doesn't traditionally do. However, you know, they're probably going to be in the locker room looking at each other going, like, how are we going to get out of this? Who's going to step up? And nobody is, really. And it's going to be a problem. And, you know, I can't even put my thumb on why it's happening. But honestly, they're just, this thing might be in their head. But you can't also count out the fact that the Europeans have played very good golf.
For sure.
And sometimes when we play some of our best golf, it still isn't good enough. And I wouldn't go so far as to say the Americans are losing it, but the Europeans certainly are going out and taking care of business when they can and when they need to make the putts. They're just basically making putts and getting the job done where we're just simply not able to get it done, and it's frustrating as all hell. And what happens, too, and these players will admit to it, the harder they try, it's almost like the worse it gets. And again, when you look at the body language on these two teams right now, it's a tale of two stories. You know, you can see the Europeans, they have a bounce in their step, they're happy, they're smiling, they're joking, they're communicating with each other. You know, we're stiff, we're stoic, we're pretty quiet, you know, except for those few moments that we have here and there. I just look at our team as maybe being a little too tight, and maybe all of this banter, pomp and circumstance and everything that we've been looking at this thing for years and years and years is that we're just choking. And we wanted this to be the best weekend of our life, and no matter how hard we try, we're trying too hard. And sometimes you just got to go out and just play and let it happen. And I think we're trying to do something a little bit beyond what we're usually doing. And I think that usually for any golfer, you know, starts spelling catastrophe, tragedy, warrant, bad shots, you know, that kind of thing. So it's golf, and unfortunately we've all been through it. And the American team is certainly going through it right now. And Scottie is going through it as we watch him. And it's just surprising to see the play that Scottie has put on display for this weekend. And it just isn't the Scottie we know.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, too, has to come from the number of new guys who are probably still in the get-to-know-you process with this event. Meanwhile, the European side of things, you've got 11 guys that return from the last European Ryder Cup team. And the one swap you made, you just took his brother. Like, it feels like it's a pretty seamless transition. And Luke Donald brought the other Højgaard out to the last Ryder Cup when it was out in Europe and just kind of showed him the ropes in case, hey, one day it could be your time to be a part of this team. And what do you know? You fast forward 2 years later, and he is a part of this team. And that, to me, is the biggest difference right now. You've got 11 guys on one side that are comfortable with this event and with each other in that locker room. And on the other side, I think you can probably only say that about 5 or 6 guys.
Yep. And you know what else? Even though they switched out Højgaard, they still have the same DNA. So
right.
The same DNA is on that team that was exactly there last year. So in the end, we are seeing a difference between experience and how much experience pays off. And if you really take a step back and look at what they did to us in Rome with that team, if there was a team that was ripe for coming over to do this on American soil, what they're doing, it's this team. They are so deep, they are so good, and they are so experienced. And they're experienced in the format, but they're also experienced within the formats of the matches, and specifically alternate shot. They're raised better to play match play than we are in the United States. I just think that's what's starting to resonate and come through. But, you know, you bring up that point about the Højgaards and what the team did. To me, what you just described, Tyler, is culture. Europe has it. Europe gets it. I'm not sure the United States does on certain levels. And, you know, based on what has occurred this week, I'm not sure we ever will. And I just think that, you know, when you look at Patrick Reed, you know, was he asked to be a part of this team for the future? Was he asked to be, you know, come on out and watch your fellow LIV players light this thing up? No. And in fact, he doubled down and said, I'm not even going to watch the thing. But on the other hand, you got the Højgaards, and look what they're doing. And to me, that's the difference between the United States and Europe when it comes to chemistry, camaraderie, and togetherness. And it's. I think that right there sums up the 2025 Ryder Cup.
And on top of that, too, you talk about the culture with the European team, but just a group of guys that know their roles, too. And I think that's what the United States team is trying to find. Like, who is the leader of the United States team? Is it Justin Thomas? Is it Scotty? Is it Bryson DeChambeau? Who's the leader there? I don't think that's established. Meanwhile, on the other side, you take a look at the European team. Who's the leader there? I think it's pretty clearly you got two guys, Justin Rose and Shane Lowry, guys that have been there, done that. And then you talk about the guys who are like the best players. That's where you go to guys like Rahm and Rory. And then you've got guys that kind of fill in the rest of the cracks pretty nicely with guys like Tyrrell Hatton and Victor Hovland. And I know he hasn't been great this time around, but Ludvig Åberg is probably one of the three to five most talented people that are teeing it up out at Bethpage. And he's been a non-factor in this thing.
Yeah, you're right. And the roles of the United States are quite, let's say, fuzzy, and we're not quite sure who the leader is. You know, where is Bryson fit when, you know, he becomes the LIV player on the team, right? The only one on the team. Where at least in Europe, they've got a pair of them. So obviously they're keeping that pair together. And in retrospect, maybe we should have had another person very close. Maybe it was the Patrick Reed combo with Bryson would have been money for us. But I also look at, would Keegan's voice matter more as a player sitting in that room and having somebody else captain it and looking at it from a different perspective? I don't know. But I can tell you right now, we miss him as a player. That is for certain. And, you know, we just, quite honestly, we don't have our best team out there. And they do. And that's what it really boils down to. It's just that simple. They're more talented than us.
Yeah. And it's something that we've been saying for weeks now, is that, listen, you line these things up, they're 12 versus our 12, it doesn't look like a fair fight. And that's what I think scares a lot of people about when we get to the singles matches tomorrow. Could it just be a European bloodbath? Because you're talking about a lot of guys who are at the bottom of the roster on the United States side, that it's like, how are they going to match up with some of these guys who have at least on the American side, like a number of those guys have been boom or bust type of guys. Ben Griffin has had the highest of highs of anyone on this United States team so far this season. But you could also say he's had the lowest of lows. I mean, he either wins or finishes top three in events, or he's finishing outside the top 30. And if we get outside the top 30 Ben Griffin tomorrow, he's not winning his match against whoever the Europeans throw his way.
And unfortunately, when you are a rookie in these events, and you're generally, your first Ryder Cup is generally not your best by any stretch of the imagination. We saw some anomalies last year from the European side. But to your point, that's the fear of why I thought putting Ben Griffin on this team was not a good idea. I just think that he doesn't hit it far enough. And his play, when he's hot, he's hot. But when he's not, he's really not. And there's more of that than there is of the hot. So, again, knowing you got to do it today and knowing it has to happen tomorrow, not just one of these weeks you're having an outside the 30 finish, we need that tomorrow, that finish where you win. It has to be flipped on tomorrow, not next week, not 3 weeks from now, tomorrow. And I would leave him on the bench. I would leave him on the bench this afternoon as well.
Yeah. And it's, listen, for a guy like him, it's tough to get momentum that way going into what's going to be a very pivotal Sunday, because if your bottom stack of the roster can pick up some points for you through those singles matches, all right, then it's game on, because you feel pretty good about, all right, here's what Scotty can do. And some of the other guys at the top. I'll say another guy we haven't really talked about, and he was not a captain's pick. He made this thing on points, but JJ Spaun, a guy who went out, won the U.S. Open in pretty convincing fashion, might we add, too. But just you haven't really heard much of JJ Spaun, and he was in the group with Scottie Scheffler yesterday, and you think, hey, like, shouldn't this be a guy that goes out and makes a little bit of noise? And we really haven't heard much about JJ Spaun, it feels like, in the last couple of months, ever since that U.S. Open victory. And if he can bring a little bit of firepower to this roster, all right. And I think that's part of the concerns, too, is even the guys who are making this team on points, their six versus our six. It was Scotty at the top, and Bryson's been pretty good, too. But Bryson hasn't looked like what he looked like in 2024 this year. He's still been good. But 2024 was a far better year for Bryson.
Oh, no doubt. He won a lot more. But he's still, you know, he's still a love player, but he still plays great golf. And I do think, as far as the match play format, the type of game that he has is one I think you want on your team. I just think he brings a certain intangible that most golfers just simply don't have. And I think he is somebody that we definitely need leadership. We need production out of, for sure. But to your point, the top six guys on our team via points just haven't really delivered in any way, shape, or form. Now, you could also say that, you know, JJ hasn't been playing any, so we expect to probably see him in the afternoon. I'm sure we're going to see Ben Griffin this afternoon. But if, you know, it's those guys, it's fragile. If they have bad afternoons, guess what's going to happen tomorrow? It's not going to be good. So you run the risk. Do I just keep them off to hopefully save their confidence? Or do I put them out there with the idea that if they play well, then I got momentum tomorrow? But he may not have any choice. If they drop these three this morning, he's going to, again, like I said earlier, he's going to have to throw everything in the kitchen sink, change up pairings, do anything, do something that sparks some sort of a shift in tide here, because this thing's starting to get too far out of reach too soon. And I would have, because again, I thought this thing was going to end in a tie. I'm completely wrong on that, at least to this point anyway. But I just am shocked that this is where we stand after almost the first round being complete on day two. I would have never thought to script it this way.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk to you about bringing guys along. And what I mean by that is the way that we're seeing some of these European pairings where the superstar, it feels like, is bringing along one of the not as elder statesmen on the roster, and certainly the lesser players along the roster as well. And we're not really seeing that on the American side. We'll dive a little bit more into that when we come back. The segment's been brought to you by Geneva National.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Another match goes final as John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton take care of Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay. That's a frustrating one for the Americans there. You talk about probably your best combination of the alternate shot format in Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay. I mean, you think about guys that play in the Zurich Classic, and this is the only pairing that you see present from the American side, but they fall to Rahm and Hatton 3-2 there as that match goes final. The only one still active in the morning session, Robert McIntyre and Victor Hovland, one up on Scottie Scheffler and Russell Henley, with three to play in that one. The Europeans now a 7.5 to 3.5 lead, and you're feeling like, all right, the Americans need to find a way to at least salvage a half point out of this Scottie Scheffler match, because you've got the best player in the world. I get it, that it's a bit of a wonky format with it being the alternate shot and not the best ball format here, but Scottie Scheffler is going to have to put the cape on at some point if the Americans are going to overcome the deficit on the table right now. But it is certainly not gone the way that Captain Keegan Bradley and company would have thought so far here in the early stages of this one. By the way, this segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club. So, Mike, as we maybe start to look forward now to the afternoon session, what are you looking for most on the American side if they're going to keep this thing respectable, and then you roll the dice as you get into the single matches tomorrow?
Well, I think the first thing I do is let's just see what Scotty does. But I have to tell you, while we were at break, the 15th hole, this has been what the Americans' luck has been like. Victor has a putt, and he's up into the first cutter up against it, and he fluffs it out. He doesn't even get it halfway to the hole. He leaves Bobby Mack with probably a 14-footer for par while the Americans are well within side that. He makes it.
Yeah. And guess what? I mean, he made a big one yesterday, too, in a very similar situation where it was like, all right, are they gonna have no blood on this hole? And it was like probably 20 feet. And, I mean, that's why you have someone like Robert McIntyre in this event. He's one of the best putters in the world right now.
Exactly, and he's proven it right here, right now, and that's the difference. They're doing it right now, and we're not. But, yeah, for this afternoon, let's just assume for a second Scotty can't pull this out, and we do drop those three, and it's 8.5, 3.5. Well, then you've got to go to, break glass in case of emergency, and now we have an emergency. So now you got to start putting some pairings together that might be risky, but could be rewarding. But I would definitely keep Bryson and Cam Young together. I think Cameron is suited for that thing. He grew up there. He loves it there. I think you put him out, and I put him out first. And then I think you just got to start looking at the guys and say, who really wants to be out there? You know, who has it in their heart? I mean, and if you don't, let us know, because we need cheerleaders too, but we need our eight guys to produce. We can't have any more just guys riding out there and just, riding the coattails of their partner. We have to get the ham and egging going on. We need to go on birdie barrages. When I'm not making birdie, you are. And when you're not, I am. And that has to be the mentality. I don't know that they can play conservative anymore. I think they're going to have to start thinking that they got to start making birdies, because par is not going to do it anymore. So they got to make it happen.
And you bring up Cam Young. He's now the points leader on the American side. He's accounted for two of the 3.5. And you're going to need as much. And the course fit has always been there, too, with Cameron Young. You obviously bring up the familiarity with it being a New York guy. But on top of that, too, the way that he can kind of bomb the ball out there, it's a very different type of player than some of the other guys on the lower rung of this American roster, like a Ben Griffin. I mean, Cameron Young was maybe one of the more controversial picks, but oftentimes what we've seen in this event over the last couple of years is the controversial captain's picks have been the ones that delivered. I go back 2 years ago. Justin Thomas, while he had been a fixture on this American team for so many years, that was a controversial pick at the time for Zach Johnson. And albeit it was not in a victorious manner for the Americans, but Justin Thomas was one of the guys that was the only reason the Americans had a pulse in the event.
I know. And you know, it's something. Since 1999, the last person picked by a captain on Sunday in singles has gone 8-1-3.
It's incredible.
So it's to your point. And that's why I say this is an odd way of trying to determine a team when we base it all on 72-hole stroke play. And then we ask them to play something totally different and expect right. the same results. And, you know, when I look at Ben Griffin and I look at Russell Henley, very, very good players in their own right, no doubt. But they're not long. And no. if you watch what's going on this weekend, they're all bombing it. Everyone hits it a mile. And because they decided to put the rough down, which they typically do, and I guess Keegan Bradley had that opportunity and he wanted it cut down shorter so that more birdies can be made from the rough. You are definitely seeing an easier version of Bethpage Black. But because it is set up to make birdies, we need to go out and make them. Pars on this golf course in a PGA Championship or a U.S. Open are outstanding, but not this weekend.
No. No, not at all. I think the other part, too, and I mentioned it before the break, but seeing how some of these European stars are bringing along some of the guys who are lower down on the totem pole, I look at Jon Rahm and how Sepp Straka is one of the most combustible players in this event. We've seen him on the big stage, Sepp Straka, this year, and he has been atrocious. He's been good in like all of the PGA Tour events throughout the year. But then when the majors flash, he's been a complete zero. And that may be generous for what he's been this year. But then you see Jon Rahm go out there, and he's... I look at the head-to-head yesterday, going up against Scottie Scheffler and J.J. Spaun, where Scottie Scheffler is the best player in the world. J.J. Spaun won the U.S. Open, but nobody's confusing him for Scottie Scheffler. Nobody's confusing him for really any of the top three players on the American side. And you see Scottie... And JJ just get wiped out of this thing. Meanwhile, Jon Rahm's bringing along Sepp Straka, and they go 3-2 on him. And the guy who I see that's kind of bringing along some of the other guys on the American team is actually Bryson DeChambeau. Him and Cameron Young had a very convincing win this morning in the alternate shot over Matthew Fitzpatrick and Ludvig Åberg. And even yesterday, too, Bryson... bringing along Ben Griffin to the best of his ability. I know they lost the match against Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood, but you're talking about a guy in Justin Rose who is as experienced as anybody in this event. And then on top of that, a guy in Tommy Fleetwood who is one of the hottest golfers in the world right now. And for them to take that match by just being one up at the end, I'm coming away a lot more impressed by what Bryson has done over the course of these 2 days so far.
I'm in total agreement with you, and just listening to you speak there for a moment, Tyler, I thought you were doing a promo for LIV Golf and Team Golf, because these guys are bringing a team culture into the team room now, and we don't do this. Now, I'm not saying the PGA Tour needs to be teams and like LIV, but I do see a different version of a Jon Rahm. When I saw Jon Rahm at the PGA Championship at Valhalla last year, and I've seen him out at LIV the last couple of years, his demeanor totally different than what I'm watching today and what I'm watching all weekend out of Jon Rahm. I'm seeing a much more mature. I'm seeing a happier Jon Rahm, a Jon Rahm that's comfortable in his own skin, and that's a very bad man for the United States. When he gets comfortable in his surroundings and becomes happy, he's going to just rule the roost. And I was pleasantly surprised to see him doing that and taking Sepp under his wing like that. That was something I would have not expected out of John Rahm. And again, it speaks back to culture and what Luke Donald as the captain has done. I mean, Luke Donald, I have to believe, has got to go down as one of the best captains on either side of the pond in the history of this thing. This guy gets into the minutia. He really understands his players on a very personal level. And he went so far. I mean, get this. And for those people who are watching the golf over the weekend and see how the European shirts are somewhat the ugliest things you'll ever want to put on your body. Uh-huh. And there's a reason for that. Do you know that the Europeans have won 4 times on American soil? So what he did is he went back and grabbed the designs of the Sunday shirts from those 4 wins, and that's what they're wearing. And that's why they look so awful. But they're just winning ugly.
That's, yeah, and that's sometimes, but it's a by any means necessary type of deal that the Europeans are working with here. All right, when we come back, I want you to pave the path to victory for the Americans. There's a lot that has to happen. They're down 4 points. It could be 5 in the next 20 or so minutes before we are off the air here. But I want you to try to pave the path for the Americans, and I'll try to help you along the way as well. This segment's been brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Republic Bank, Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you here on ESPN Chicago as we will try now to pave the path to American victory. They are down 4, 7.5 to 3.5, could be 8.5 to 3.5 in the next 15 minutes or so as they try to hold off the European side of things. But I look at this American team right now, Mike, as one that they have to find some sort of spark. And there's a couple of guys that I look to as you have to change the tide of how this event is going this afternoon. It is Bryson DeChambeau. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because he has been, I think, one of these strong suits. He may not have the points to show for it, but I think the competitiveness of what he's brought to the table for this American team, I pin it on Bryson DeChambeau. The other guy is Justin Thomas, who, for all intents and purposes, is the heartbeat of this American team. And he hasn't had a good showing so far, but he is one of those guys. He's a been there, done that guy on this team. And I think when you talk about leaders, it's JT. Hopefully, he's got the talent to show up for it when this thing gets off and running in the afternoon and into the solo matches tomorrow. But, all right. I'm giving you the keys to the car here, Mike. Does America get back in this thing and come out victorious at Bethpage? Because right now they're chasing a lot of points. I mean, they're going to need 11 more points to come away with this thing, because you can't come to a draw on this and retain the trophy, because it's going to stay with the Europeans if that's the case.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think what we have to do is we have to prioritize the momentum of our pairings. In other words, pair players who, you know, show positive energy and chemistry from, you know, yesterday's matches, such as Cameron and JT. But they got to stay aggressive and obviously build more points. And then I think there's going to be a blend of mix of veterans and rookies. And that's where this thing is won or lost, is putting the rookie with the right veteran and putting those guys out there. So at this point, I would try just about anything. And, you know, I think you got to keep Bryson and Cameron together, but maybe put JT with, you know, a Ben Griffin or another one of our rookies. You know, and I think you got to take advantage of the guys with the biggest hearts and put them out there first. Put Bryson out, then put JT with the group. And then who's your next big emotional leader? And then do you put Scotty? I put Scotty in the last group in the afternoon because I think he will come through. If he doesn't come through now, because if he can salvage even a tie out of this, I'd keep him in that anchor position. Because if the other guys can get the momentum and then your world number one comes around and buttons up the bookend of this afternoon matches, then I think the Americans are sitting more comfortably as they wake up to play the singles in the morning. But I think you got to reevaluate Scheffler's pairings. You know, he struggled so badly on day one. You know, obviously they experimented with a few partners with Russell Henley and whatnot. But I think it's who you put with Scotty in that last group is going to be the key decision. And hopefully it's a formidable pairing that can do some things so that you can it would be nice to get ahead in that last match so you know you have it won and then go to town on the first two and get the momentum. That's what this – if they can't grab momentum this afternoon, it's going to be a long Sunday.
Well, and you got to keep the crowd too because like you said,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I know there's two 0-3 football teams there right now, but they'll move on quick. They need to keep this crowd interested. That's why, I mean, this final alternate shot match here with Scotty involved is so critical. You have to come away with at least a half point here because if you're not, then all of a sudden you're going to lose the crowd for this afternoon. You'll lose the crowd into tomorrow. And if you've got no momentum in this thing, then it's set in stone. It's done. And the Europeans are going to come away victorious with it.
Yeah, they have to win this crowd over this afternoon because if they don't, and let's say they go out and lay the ultimate egg and they lose all four or three out of four again, I can guarantee you those beers will be deep in the afternoon, and I don't think that crowd's going to be as kind to the Americans as they've been on day one and one and a half here. So that's a concern. If they lose this crowd, it's over. And that's the only thing they have still going for them on their side is roughly 45 to 50,000 American fans. They got to get them in the game. And the only way you're going to do that is with energy, enthusiasm, and guys with the personality that can stay committed and on task for what they're doing, but also play and interact with the crowd a la JT, a la Bryson, and get this thing going because if we don't, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, and you can't let this thing get away, especially knowing that Scotty's in this last match right now. Because having Scotty kind of, if he's the one that lets go of the rope here down the stretch, I mean, that I know he's not the heartbeat of the team in terms of, like, the passion and all that. I think that's reserved for guys like Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau. But that's your best player. And if he's not playing like your best player, it's been another disappointing go at it for Scotty Scheffler, and you'd never imagine it would have gotten to this point for a guy like him who is the best player in the world. He's doing stuff we haven't seen since Tiger, but unfortunately he also has the Tiger track record now. At least that's the way it's trending at the Ryder Cup.
Well, again, it goes back to show you that that all of those stats and all of those rankings are all done on 72 hole stroke play individual. So, to me, all of that gets thrown out the window once you start playing match play in Ryder Cup because the brain operates completely different under match play conditions versus stroke play. And even if you're one of the best in the world, your brain still operates differently. And some guys are just better at it than others. It's just plain and simple. It fits their personality. It's either what they've been brought up doing and as a young boy. We just don't have as much of that opportunity on our side of the equation to be just that good. But if I'm Keegan Bradley, I think I'd go. Assuming we lose this match, I'd go into the locker room and say, Scotty, what do you want to do? Who do you want to play with, and where do you want to play? I'm just going to start with you. You're my guy. You're the anchor. Let's start with you. And then I'd turn to JT. Who do you want to play with? And where do you want to go? And Bryson, who do you want to play with? I would just leave it up to the players at this point because at this point, everything you've tried to do hasn't worked. So I turn it over to the players and let them be my guide.
You think there's anything to the too many cooks in the kitchen type of deal here? Because we saw Keegan Bradley go out there with a trillion vice captains, and that's what people thought. They started to believe that he may end up playing in this thing, and that's why he brought along so many vice captains. We'd never seen an assistant coaching bench, if you will, like what Keegan Bradley has this year. But do you think there's anything to that, and then Keegan being the ultimate figurehead and he's still not playing in the event?
You know, there's truth to be had there because, again, you can get too analytical. You know, over-analysis can lead to total paralysis, and maybe that is part of the equation here. And maybe because they really didn't know what he was doing, maybe the team has – maybe that was a distraction from the very get-go. And when he decided to play, he got all these vice captains now who don't know really their role because they probably thought you were going to play. So I'm sure everyone's trying to give their two cents and wants their impact to be felt because, you know, when you ask me to have a role, I want to have my input. I want to give my take on things. I want my voice to be heard. Otherwise, did I just travel up here and spend all this time to not be heard? So I think you might have something there. I think we might have too many cooks in the kitchen because, you know, even in baseball, you have a pitching coach, a hitting coach, and a manager, and that's it. I mean, and you've got a lot more players. We only have 12, and we've got like five vice captains. So I could almost see it's like every player gets their own vice captain. I think it should almost be back to basics. You got one leader. There's no, you know, there's no confusion in voices because who knows what's being said by the other vice captains after Keegan speaks and all that kind of stuff. So you run the risk of all of that happening when you don't have one clear leader, and maybe some of that is to blame, but it's just not our weekend.
They are going to the 18th in the McIntyre Hovland Russell Henley Scotty Scheffler match with the Europeans one up through 17. A clutch putt from Victor Hovland just now that has guaranteed Europe at least a half point here,
and that's right.
That right there, I mean, if Victor and McIntyre can hold on here, it will be the largest road soil lead after the morning session of day two since 1979. You're talking about an absolute bloodbath out of the gate if Europe can hold on and make this thing 8.5 to 3.5 through the morning session of day two. All right, Mike, when we return, we will go around the CDGA one last time this year. Cannot believe we have already gone through another season of the golf show. But that's all coming up next. This segment's been brought to you by Republic Bank.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thank you to Mario Heron for producing today's show, and thank you to everyone who's helped along the way with the CDGA Golf Show. This is the last iteration of the show for 2025, and Mike, before you know it, we will be back out at the Chicago Golf Show sooner rather than later. It sneaks up on us. By the way, this segment brought to you by French Lick Golf Resort. But another great year of doing the show with you, Mike. Been a lot of fun. We've played some golf together. We've done some trips together. It's been awesome. And just been a ton of fun, and can't wait to tee it up with you again, my friend.
Well, buddy, you are the ultimate professional, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to work with you and the rest of the team at ESPN, and I look forward to another year. That's if you'll have me back.
Oh, always. That's never a question.
But no, it's just been a wonderful year. And February 28th is the next time we will be back together at the Chicago Golf Show at the Rosemont Convention Center. It will be February 27th, 28th, and March 1st. So already the show is going to be bigger than ever. We're going to have the Wintrust opening drive night on Thursday night. We're going to be awarding out some raffles, including a couple of people will be going to the Masters. In fact, we'll be sending a foursome on a private jet.
Wow.
We'll be doing that program again. So hopefully we will be making another trip to Augusta in 2026. But like you said, the season is coming to an end, even for the CDGA, in terms of our events. And we've been, September is deemed basically championship week. And so it continues, or championship month, I should say, it continues this week when the Illinois senior women are playing their major of the year down at Champaign Country Club, September 29th, September 30th, and October 1st. So that is one of their premium events, 54-hole competition, and I know the ladies look forward to this every year. On Tuesday the 30th, we have the mixed championship at LaGrange Country Club, and we have the biggest field we've ever had with a variety of husband and wife champions or club champions being paired together and coming to battle. The Lauren and Doug Meyer team from Ivanhoe is a 4- or 5-time winner. They're the odds-on favorite, but they've got plenty of pairs of teams coming after them. And then we have the Net Better Ball Championship October 6th at Kemper Lakes. And then our final member day is October 27th at Lost Dunes. And then our last trip that the CDGA will go on, our last national trip, will be early November to Stream Song. If you haven't been to Stream Song and would still like to go, we do have a few openings. Go to cdga.org, click on trips, and you'll have all the information. Get in touch with Andrew Luthane, and he can get you all set up. I have been to Stream Song several times, and it is phenomenal. So if you have a chance, come along with us. And lastly, the golf shop here for the CDGA member golf shop is ever-changing and ever-evolving. We will be adding new items all before the holidays, so definitely take a look. There's a lot of new things in store, a lot of exciting new things that will be happening. I'm not going to get into those just now, but stay tuned to your newsletter all fall and winter, as well as take a look at that store, because there's going to be some amazing opportunities for the upcoming holidays. And that's about it from around the CDGA, because sooner or later it's going to start snowing. I can't believe I'm saying that.
So when is the last day to post scores?
The last day will be November 14th. So plenty of time still, and I'm glad you asked that. We used to end on Halloween or November 1st. But because of, I'll call it global warming or whatever you want, the USGA deemed our geography and the climate and the weather to extend our season. So we started on March 15th rather than April 1st like we traditionally did. And instead of ending at the end of October, we're stretching it 2 more weeks into November. Because really, I don't know about you, Tyler, I've been playing golf in September, and it has been some of the greatest weather.
Yeah.
And we're in for another spectacular day here at Arcadia Bluffs, where it's going to be 75, and I'm going to catch the other guys on the back nine. And we have a bunch of days coming up, and it's just nothing but balls of sun, and Tracy Butler has done us upright.
Which course are you playing out there?
We're going to play the South course today. We played Bluffs yesterday.
I love that course.
The South course. If I'm a Chicago Golf member and I see this, it's like deja vu. I mean, apparently the designers made 25 different trips to Chicago Golf to study how they did the bunkering and how Seth Rayner did the routing and all the rest of it. And I will tell you, there is a lot of Chicago golf in this golf course, and that's what makes it really special. And these greens might be the fastest I've ever seen. So I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, you're talking about Pinehurst-level quickness on those greens, too. I mean, it's what it is. And I always say, from my experience of going out there this year, you go for the Bluffs course, but you come back for the South course, I think.
I totally agree. In fact, there were a lot of people who have been here on this trip before trying to educate the rookies as to what the South course was going to be like. And I think you summed it up great. Everybody comes for this, but they come back for that. And the Bluff course never disappoints. We had a beautiful, beautiful day. It was cloudy when we got here, but as soon as we stepped up to the first tee, it was like the golf gods knew we were coming. They opened up the sun. It was 70 degrees, and it couldn't be more perfect. And, this golf course makes you feel like you've gone back in time to Ballybunion when you get to holes like 11 and 12. It's unbelievable, the berms. And, I mean, I truly feel like I'm on, like, number 16 or 17 at Ballybunion over in Ireland. It's rather unique. And then you go down the street to the South Course, and it's a completely different experience, but an amazing one all in itself.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, Mike, it's been fun. Thanks so much to everyone for listening this year. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, the Glenview Park Golf Club, as well, and Ron Cassidy and his entire crew up there. For Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky. We'll see you at the Chicago Golf Show in February. Peggy and Dion are coming up next, live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. They'll get you ready for Bears and Raiders and all sorts of other Vegas fun as well. And this segment has been brought to you by French Lick.